Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the FICA Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we are here. We have arrived after months of counting down to WrestleMania 40. We have arrived. It is now WrestleMania week. We are approximately 4 days out from WrestleMania 40 going down from Lincoln Financial Stadium in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the link. And we're so excited to dive into everything WrestleMania 40. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Von Wagner. I bring to you on the wrap today, not salty Scott Young, not perky Scott Young. I bring to you for the week, WrestleMania Scott Young. Hello, WrestleMania.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited. I'm XL. It's going to be a fun show. I'm excited to do some predictions and get them all wrong. That seems to be what I do here. But I got hope. I got confidence. And I'm knocking out the park this year.
So you're basically clinging on to a wing and a prayer that your predictions will come to fruition somehow, some way.
Yeah, this is why I don't, this is why I stopped doing sports books. This is why I stopped going to the casinos. This is why I had to give up FanDuel, because I know I'm going to win. I just don't know when.
And that does not help at all, that you don't know when it's going to happen and you don't want to keep risking it and keep waiting for something that will never be. But that is a very wise decision by you. But before we dive into all things WrestleMania, you know, we got to do what we got to do at the top of every episode of The Wrap until the conclusion of the NBA Finals in June. We got to talk about the Western Conference standings as we stand right now. In the 9 and 10 spot are still the Lakers and Warriors. The Lakers are 42 and 33, 7 and 3 in their last 10. The Warriors are 40 and 34, 6 and 4 in their last 10. And they are now trying to clip the Rockets, who were nipping at the heels a bit. So they got about a 2-game lead in the 10th spot. The Kings are 43 and 31, and the Suns are 44 and 31. So, Scott, looking at the situation right now, it is not impossible that the Warriors and the Lakers, if they continue to win, could possibly move up.
Yeah, the Warriors not making the playoffs or play in. Lakers, though, I said 6th seed, I rescinded, went to the 7th seed. I'm sticking with that. I think we're going to get a guaranteed playoff spot, which is the goal. Just get a guarantee. You want to wait as long as possible to see Denver and hope somebody upsets them. Cause that's the only team I'm really worried about, to be honest with you. Like, I think we can legitimately beat every other team in a 7-game series.
I am not accepting your Warrior slander. Very rude of you to say they're not going to make the play-in or the playoffs. Remember this recording, my friends, on April 2nd, 2024. Scott made this prediction. We'll revisit in a few weeks to see where he stands on all of that. But the Lakers they do have a shot. I'm not going to lie, but it's got to be consistency. And they're going to be playing a lot of winning record teams during the closing stretch on the road, by the way. So good luck to them. So it is very competitive in the top 10 and the top three spots still for the West. It is a battle between the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, top three. It could go either way. So, Scott, quick take on that. Who do you think will be the number one seed in the West?
Man, I think Minnesota ends up with the number one seed. I think Anthony Edwards starts to take over and just continues to dominate and close out. So I think they end up number one. I got Denver number two. OKC ends up number three. If I'm the Lakers, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't help me. I'm rooting for Denver to get the number one, but I don't know. I think Minnesota might have it this year.
They might. And the top three, they're literally a game apart. And all of them in the top three are 7-3 in their last 10 games. It is very, very tight. It will come down to the wire for sure. But that is it for our NBA beat. Congrats to the Hawks for beating Boston twice in a week, last week in overtime and last minute shots and coming back from 30 down. So they're pretty secure in the 10 spot. I don't know their prospects of, you know, Trey comes back, but if they happen to sneak in and become an 8 seed, if I'm Boston, I wouldn't want to play them after how they played last week.
If I'm Boston, I'm not concerned with them. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not concerned with Murray. Murray scored 44 points. And that dude took 50 shots. So, you know, if a man going to chuck up 50 shots every game, yeah, I'll live with those results.
But he kill shot them twice, though.
He did. There's no question. If you give him a chance to win the game, he'll end it. But I can't imagine that happens four times. I know it just happened twice.
Yes.
But I can't imagine it happens four times. Like, you lose to the Hawks if you're Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown's, I don't know who you get for him, but Jaylen Brown's got to go. You don't trade Tatum, but Jaylen Brown's got to go.
Yes, because honestly, if they don't do it this year with the team they have, it might be time to blow it up, and Jaylen Brown is a piece I would trade as well. So we'll see how it goes. Embiid comes back possibly tonight. So we'll see if he's healed up. So the East is interesting, not as spicy as the West, but still pretty, pretty interesting as well. As we now table our NBA talk and now focus on that road to WrestleMania. The road is almost to Philadelphia. And Scott, I am excited for this year's WrestleMania. I was watching Monday Night Raw tonight live from a sold out Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. This was the highest grossing Monday Night Raw in history. In history, in 31 years, this was the hottest selling ticket they have ever had in the history of this brand and show. Amazing stat. But I was going through the entire week of events. My God, I don't have time for half of this.
And I won't be watching three quarters of it. But I can I can tell you this, though. You know, one thing I do want to say that we as, you know, all wrestling fans from all promotions, we really need to start appreciating some of the greatness that's going on and has been going on for a while now. You know, Roman's been doing this for a long time and did it in one of the toughest eras ever. And there's a reason I hold guys like Roman and Kenny Omega just in the highest regards, because Andrew McIntyre is because they did it when it was the most difficult time ever. To make people care, to make people tune in. And they did that. And what they did was special. Like, the belt collector was special. Roman on this tribal chief run is special. And I think we really need to start appreciating this stuff, man, because we're not going to see any of that probably for a long time to the point where it means something like that. Like, we're not, I'm 99.763% sure we're not going to see no title run like this again. at least not in my lifetime. I can't imagine it's somebody holding the top title for 3 years. So we got to appreciate this man, and the crowd's reacting to it. And one thing he said on his documentary, he talked about the elevation of everybody and stuff. And one thing I noticed watching Raw tonight, especially, you know, you had all of the Bloodline in there. I think the one person who's been elevated the most out of this entire Cody Bloodline situation is Seth Rollins. I mean, that guy, he was your, you know, your champion, you know, the guy who was going to go and root for the home team. This is my team. This is my turf. But he's getting these mega, like, superstar reactions. Like, legit, I'm one of you guys. I'm on y'all's level. I'm not a notch below. I'm not a replacement. I'm just as good, if not better, than what you had. So I think this entire thing has been special. I think it comes to an end. But I hope everyone appreciates what we've been able to witness and see. There's been some lulls, but this has been a special run. And this build here with The Rock and just the way they've been able to call audibles and Omaha's all over the line, it's been special.
It really has. I think it's going to be an arc in history for wrestling that is going to be very hard to top. I think this might have been the greatest storyline that WWE's ever crafted for 3.5 years. And we had different chapters of this story. And sometimes it was a bit long and we did want it to end at various points, but it never ended for a reason because there was so much story to tell. There were so many chapters to unfold, and every year was a chapter in the Bloodline story. Chapter one was Jey Uso's ascension as the main event. It was the elevation of Sami Zayn a couple of years ago. It was the dissension of the Usos from the Bloodline. And now we have Cody Rhodes trying to finish his story 2 years in a row. And now you have The Rock, who wanted his cousin at WrestleMania one-on-one to save the day. But now he is on fire and is going to be a part of the biggest tag team match in the history of WrestleMania on Saturday. And all of this needs to be studied by historians in the next, 10, 20 years to really examine how special this is. There were lulls in between. No lie, I thought that the Bloodline storyline hit a plateau when Jimmy turned on Jey at SummerSlam last year. It was nonsensical and dumb, and it kind of stopped Jey's push for a bit, but they recovered nicely with The Rock's addition to this faction and being able to deliver some cinematic television via his promos, not only on social media, but on television, but most importantly, his epic beatdowns on Cody Rhodes on back-to-back weeks to add heat to this match heading into WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday that would give Cody that extra incentive to win, to finish the story, and to have people care even more than they did last year.
Yeah, it's, whenever CM Punk gets hurt, special things just seem to come out of it.
Oh my God.
Or whenever he decides to leave a company, or whenever he just decides to be like, you know, whenever it's his time, it's like special things come out of it. Think about 10 years ago. Daniel Bryan, Yes Movement, WrestleMania, special, you know? I think it's well documented what happened over there. Everybody's calling Adam Page, thanking him for saving them. So there's that. And then we got this right here. We got this great pivot. Seth Rollins gets elevated. CM Punk still gets to talk his smack. He gets to go and do the media rounds. Watch out, Jericho. And then you got this great tag match. The Rock doesn't have to do a whole ton. He can be protected, and he can just do these backstage skits where he just looks menacing. And by my calculation, this is only the second time he has ever been a bad guy in a feature film, which is what they are definitely producing this as.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And I have to say, he's delivering some of the best acting performances of his life. It's funny how that happens. He needs to put this in a reel and say, you know what, this is what I need to do for my next movie. The pure supervillain, as you can see clear as day, I got this in the bag, and he's been exceptional. And I cannot believe I'm going to agree with you, but CM Punk is like a WrestleMania unicorn that delivers gifts by accident. whether he leaves WWE 10 years ago to an injury that is very unfortunate, but it really reshaped WrestleMania into what will be a very unforgettable show. And WWE is on fire right now, and he is making the media rounds to keep the conversation going, burning bridges left and right. NDAs what? NDAs who? He doesn't know what that is. So he's talking his stuff across all platforms and giving buzzworthy quotes to everybody that wants them. So he is also handling business. We cannot forget the elevation of Drew McIntyre as well, who was basically going to be thinking about leaving WWE a few months ago, but based on his performance and how he's really upped his game as a heel and a character, he might be securing the bag and the championship at WrestleMania as well.
Yeah, I can't wait for Clash of the Castle when Drew McIntyre and CM Punk have their rematch or whatever match it's going to be. Because if you don't send Drew McIntyre as the hometown hero against CM Punk, who would relish
being
in that
heel
role? Oh my God. He would relish it. He would eat it up. It don't matter which one of them's champion. It don't matter what's going on. If that match doesn't happen with the way this build is gone and everything, like, if I had it my way, I would do it how John Cena and Edge did it when they had their feud. If you remember back then, when they started after Edge had beat him when he cashed in Money in the Bank at New Year's Revolution, they had their rematch at SummerSlam, which was in Boston, Massachusetts. So Cena had the home field advantage. Edge retained at SummerSlam. They had their blow-off match at TLC, which was in Edge's hometown in Toronto. And, you know, that's the, you know, Edge comes out. He's real emotional. He almost starts smiling, you know, starts crying because he gets this massive ovation. And Cena FUs him off the top of the ladder through two tables and wins it back in his hometown. So I'd do it like that, you know, but then again, I don't know if you could send Drew McIntyre home with two losses back to back here. So there, I don't know. I'm an evil genius. I'm an evil guy. So there's that. I don't know. That's what I would do.
Evil Scott Young, another nickname that just hits, like never miss with you on this show, but I like the idea. I cannot foresee Drew losing twice at Clash at the Castle. Like at that point, he would never want to perform at that show again because bad things tend to happen. But do you think that Punk is going to be ready by June?
He could be ready to do something. He could be ready. He could be ready to do something. I mean, he's moving pretty well now. I'm expecting the summer of Punk. Like that's what I'm expecting. Maybe June is when he comes in. I don't know, but you have to do something with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre with that environment. It has to happen. You can throw enough mirrors and bells and whistles and get them out there and have some type of street fight. I mean, for goodness sake, we had Bret Hart and Vince McMahon have a street fight. So, and God knows everybody else came out. Vince McMahon took a Tower of Doom spot from the top of the rope to the floor. So, yeah, they could definitely figure something out for CM Punk and Drew McIntyre to have that type of just molten heat.
Yeah, I'm thinking that tricep injuries take, what, 6 months just about? Because I'm thinking about Christian Cage's triceps injury. He was out about 6 months. So maybe at the most, Punk can swing in June. And then he'll be fully ready by maybe SummerSlam if he's recovering quickly from his injury. I see him rehabbing all the time. The brace is getting smaller and smaller, which is a good thing. So I do sense at the most some semblance of physicality in Scotland once we get the location for the venue for Clash at the Castle 2 going down on June 15th.
Yeah, nice for them to go back. I like the international flavor.
I love it. A lot of international shows this year. I love that for WWE. And it happens earlier in the day, and I can tune in and enjoy on a Saturday afternoon and hope it's a good show, as they tend to be by WWE for the last few years or so. And I do want to touch on the importance of this as WrestleMania, because I think that the turning point for WWE happened at WrestleMania in Arlington, Texas 2 years ago with the return of Cody Rhodes. And I felt from that point forward that business was slowly but surely turning around. Vince was still there, obviously. And then we had the fiasco of him leaving, then coming back in some limited capacity. Then the company gets sold the next year. The TKO emerged, I should say, with Endeavor. And now it's like they're hitting this incredible stride that we have not seen since the Attitude Era. And I remember Triple H doing an interview recently with Complex talking about what this era will be called eventually. There's no name for it. The Attitude Era was eventually labeled that years later. But if we had to brainstorm, what would we call this era in WWE currently?
The era of the Tribal Chief. I mean, seriously, what else could you call this? I guess there's nothing. I can't think of anything else that would embody what has what has captured the imagination of everyone the most. I mean, think about the biggest moments and angles and reactions that we've had in the last few years. Every single one of them have involved Roman Reigns in some way. Think about John Cena coming back at Money in the Bank. Incredible reaction. Roman Reigns was standing in the ring across from him after he just pinned Edge clean in the middle of the ring.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in-store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Then we go after that. Well, we won't talk. Voldemort showed up. That was a great reaction. We won't talk about Voldemort, but he showed up. And I mean, Sami Zayn, incredible reaction. The Drew McIntyre match, incredible reaction. Put Logan Paul in a space where people were like, oh, wow. You know, I mean, the Miz thing was one thing, but then they saw him hang with Roman Reigns and put on, arguably, you can absolutely make the argument one of his best matches of his entire run.
Yes.
So I don't know what else you could classify this era as, where whatever you classify, it comes back to the Tribal Chief.
I'll call it the Bloodline era. I'll be fair.
You could do that. Absolutely. Because there's multiple layers. Multiple people who have been a part of that, I can live with that too. But whatever you call it, it has to involve Roman Reigns.
Yes. And actually, The Rock needs to go back to that PowerPoint presentation. And instead of using the family, he needs another tree to connect all the people that were a part of this epic storyline for the last 3.5 years and all the people that were made coming out of it. Seth, Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes, for example, they've benefited from this experience, and people that had one-offs like Bryan Danielson and Claudio from AEW, like they had that moment of greatness against Roman, delivered great matches, especially during the Thunderdome era. And now we see all of this culminating at WrestleMania 40, all of the what could have been when it should have been in terms of losing finally lands here. And before we get to what we think will happen at WrestleMania 40 for nights one and two, I do want to dive into a little bit of what has happened on Monday Night Raw the last couple of weeks. I do want to talk about the beatdown in Chicago last Monday night when Roman Reigns sent The Rock to do his dirty work to say, I have a mission for you. Take out Cody Rhodes. And The Rock comes out in a surprise. He was not advertised to be on Monday Night Raw. Shocked me, shocked everybody. And he basically told Cody in a whisper that tonight I'm going to make you bleed. And we didn't hear that audible. We found out later that's what he told him. And then the ambush backstage, the beatdown in the rain outside, the cursing, the blood, the sweat, the spitting, The Rock going off using the weight belt of Mama Rhodes and whooping Cody repeatedly, blood on the belt, just absolutely tormenting this guy. And it was an all-time ass whooping, and I was here for it. They had the extended cut of like when the show's over, oh, it ain't over. The ass whooping continues. The Rock, if we're doing a vote today, I love so many people in the ring that just go at it. But in terms of being a ticket mover, in terms of having compelling commentary on social media via his promos and on TV and what he has done, as of right now, he is the wrestler of the year, period.
Well, he's got to wrestle first before he can be wrestler of the year. But he could definitely be box office draw. But, you know, I definitely get what you're saying. He's been great. That angle, fantastic. Rocking his element. Where he can just look menacing, be intimidating. Cody being the ultimate underdog. He's absolutely going to run up some steps, throw his fist up, and Brandy, you know, we're definitely getting one of those montages at some point. He'll probably be running up with Pharaoh. That'll probably be what happens. He'll probably be running up the steps with Pharaoh. That'll be fun. They'll find like a rock doll or something, and they'll have Pharaoh piss on it on the way in one of the clips. But yeah, the angle was great. I mean, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I thought it didn't see it coming, like you said. And I think that's the best part about it. Like, we don't know what we're going to get, especially with The Rock right now. They've always kind of let loose a little bit when it came closer to WrestleMania as far as what they do. But this is kind of on a whole nother level. Things you thought you wouldn't see. This dude smearing blood. You know, be careful. That's what happened with Undertaker and Bob Orton. That didn't go too well for some of them. This is really good.
It was like Cody finally got to bleed in WWE, a dream come true. And it was for the right reason. He got his ass whooped and the blood totally made sense. It was a very graphic, vulgar beatdown. The censors were working overtime to catch every F-bomb that The Rock dropped because he was going off. He doesn't give a shit. He said that during last night's Raw, as we'll get to momentarily. But I also want to talk about the hometown guy, CM Punk, last week in Chicago. And he had quite the segment with Seth Rollins, the World Heavyweight Champion, and Drew McIntyre. They had quite the exchange. It was kind of like a rough outline of things to say, but they went off the cuff. You can tell they had a blast. You can feel some animosity here and there, but they know how to play ball. They know how to give and take when need be. And I thought that the highlight for me was Seth Rollins was suggesting, oh, if you want CM Punk to be the referee for this match, he can't count. And then CM Punk got down and said, you know what? I got one good arm. I can count 1, 2, 3. And that kind of made Seth look dumb. But otherwise, I really enjoyed the segment. I felt like Drew McIntyre was just the surly asshole, and Seth had his moments as well to get his lick back on McIntyre, and Punk was holding court in his hometown. So it's basically giving fuel for future feuds down the road with Rollins and McIntyre when Punk is back at 100% from his triceps injury.
Yeah, I also can't wait for CM Punk to show up somewhere other than Chicago. But this was I'm just saying, man, like I ain't seen him since last time we were in Chicago. So this was good. This was a really, really good segment. Drew a lot of the audience. Oh, and by the way, the Monday Night Raw, you went up against four Lady Titans.
So I wouldn't expect too much. Okay. You went against a monster and Reese, who gave you 20 boards, and then you went against the Titan in Caitlin Clark. So that's a whole nother thing. They're not going to do well in the ratings. They try to go commercial free. That ain't going to cut it. Not when she's pulling from the logo. Anyway, sorry. Saw something on my phone flash. She hit a move on a girl. Pull up. Bang, bang. This was great. Drew a whole ton of viewers that they're not going to get this week. And I'm glad that they saw that last week, because I think that sold some tickets. That's your whole summer right there. That's probably your fall. That's probably your whole fall fuse right there. Drew, Seth, and Punk. It's going to be fun.
It really is. And yes, women's basketball is the moment. The NCAA women's tournament is everything. I glimpsed at both games tonight. They were exhilarating to watch. The broadcast teams are great. The studio crew is amazing. Like, this is awesome for women's basketball, and that means more revenue, more money. The ratings are going to go crazy for both these games as UConn and Iowa won, as Iowa won their games tonight, and they will be in the Final Four with alongside South Carolina and NC State. So that's going to be heavy competition. Thankfully, I think that the women's championship game is before WrestleMania on Sunday, but Friday, that is going to be another tough battle for SmackDown going head to head with those games. But it's an exciting time for sports, and there's variety, there's excitement, and you can't miss when it comes to sports, especially for women's basketball, which is hitting a new peak. And hopefully that translates for the WNBA, because when this draft happens, my God, the talent they're going to get for their teams, Jesus.
Yeah, and that's just this year, because let me tell you, Caitlin Clark is it right now. But the truth is coming, okay? And the truth's name is Juju.
Mm-hmm.
And she come. I know we got to get back to wrestling, but Juju, that's all you need to know. She coming. She's already here, but I'm talking about just taking over the world. She's coming.
Yes, it's very, very exciting as we sidebar from what will be a ratings destroyer when those numbers come out tomorrow. But still, Monday Night Raw held its own in terms of what they were able to do to final hype WrestleMania. But I also want to shout out the one and only Jade Cargill, who finally made her debut as a SmackDown superstar on Friday, signed the contract with Nick Aldis in the ring, and the presentation was incredible. Like, we got a literal storm for her entrance, and it was raining. Like, actual rain droplets hit the stage, and she came out there. The lighting, the directing, everything was fantastic. She looked amazing. She talked her talk. She came out eventually, and she made the save alongside Bianca Belair and Naomi. Black magic has formed. And there is this iconic picture that I have as my header on Twitter right now of them pointing at the WrestleMania sign. That is an image that is going to be like, holy shit, that is going to be the pick. Put that on a t-shirt. And they will now face Damage Control's Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane, and Asuka at WrestleMania Night One on Saturday. Should be a great showcase match as Black Magic makes their WrestleMania debut.
Yeah, this is big time. This is bigger than Destiny's Child reforming. This is it right here. Okay. And I'll let you go ahead and guess who Michelle is. All right. I'll let you go ahead and guess who Michelle is, because I'm going to tell you who's not Beyonce. Actually, who you think is Beyonce in that? Who's Beyonce?
Okay. I'm going on seniority here. Bianca Belair is Beyonce.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And so, I just want to, who's your Michelle?
Jade for right now. I'm not saying Naomi yet. Jade got to show me something.
Oh, nah, Naomi. First of all, there's nothing wrong with Michelle. She did her thing.
I love Michelle. Yeah, I love absolutely. Michelle.
Naomi's Michelle. Okay.
No, I'm going by seniority, Scott. I'm going by seniority.
All right. Respect. But it's a huge moment. Three Black women teaming up.
Damage Control, they're getting their moment to shine. We're getting another women's match. It doesn't feel like a forced match. I do want to say I saw people putting on the Twitter or on the X that they were talking about how, you know, they copied Mercedes' debut and all this stuff. And first thing I thought of, well, I guess you haven't been watching because this has been building for a couple weeks. Started with a one-person beatdown, then it went to a two-person beatdown, and then the storm came.
I'm pretty sure we talked about this a month ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know where that narrative came from. Both debuts were great. They had nothing to do and no similarities except they involved Black women. That's the only thing I saw that had that the same thing had between them.
That's what I saw too. And then on top of that, Jade was teasing and ass whooping on them for weeks when she was negotiating between Raw and SmackDown. So she stared them down saying, I got y'all one day. And sure enough, she came out there on Friday, changed her outfit, and she was ready to go. And she whooped ass accordingly, hit her spots perfectly, and it made sense. It was building up because you needed that third to help Naomi and Bianca because they was getting beat up. And then when the time comes, Bayley, when they reconcile and they find a way to get along, we're going to get an 8-woman tag team match. And I'm all for that as well. So that is long form building of this storyline, especially for Bianca to trust Bayley eventually after everything they went through over the last couple of years. And Jade's addition is great. And you know, the long game is ultimately going to be Jade and Bianca Belair. And I'm here for that whenever they're ready to go there.
Yeah, me personally, I'd love for them three to win the match. And then Jade just destroys Bianca and Naomi in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania. Just leaves them laying. It's like, appreciate the spot. Appreciate you getting me on the card. Now I'm out of here. I'm doing my own thing.
That'd be so twisted, but so Jade at the same time. I am going to be here for the entrances, preferably at night, because y'all can have Naomi come out there in the daytime. That's just rude. She can't glow with the sun out. That's impossible.
Oh, that'd be worse than when Sting came out in the daytime. They did that man dirty. They say, hey, man, they set that man up from the jump.
He
should have been like, yo, you know what? Hey, can somebody switch spots with me? Hey, can we switch seats? I can't do it in the daytime, you know, because good Lord. Yeah, Naomi's got to go on at night so you can get that glow, because that glow is going to be amazing. You hand out glow sticks. Everybody should have glow sticks. And then you're going to have Bianca's probably going to have some type of drumline, step team, marching band, something crazy HBCU love letter that's gonna just pop off. And then Jade is just gonna cap it all off. I am kind of mad a little bit that The Rock took her lightning. We're gonna talk about that. The Rock is dope, but I know now what that lightning was for. That was for Jade. That was supposed to go in the middle of the storm. Okay. They took out the thunder. Now it's just a storm. There used to be a thunderstorm. But not, you're right. The entrances at WrestleMania is going to be great just in general. So I look forward to all that.
Yes, those three are going to be special. Jade, I predict, will come out dressed like Storm.
As she should. It's about time. You know, yes. I don't know about the Mohawk, but it's definitely about time for everything else.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm here for the entrances, here for the match. It's going to be a great night one of WrestleMania, hopefully with the sun down and the lights down and everything being at night, because it cannot take the light. Ask Sting about it. As we said, the man got screwed over from day one. The sabotage and the fix was in. As we get to this week's Monday Night Raw, going down live once again for the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, sold out house. And we kick things off with the final boss, The Rock. And you know what, Scott? The Rock is so bougie that every single week, this man's Titantron changes constantly. First it's his name, then it's the bull with the red eyes, then it's the final boss. Now it is his image on the big screen with the lightning bolts. He comes out in his old school cow vest, fur on fur, in 2024, comes out there, and he is reveling in the fact that he made Cody Rhodes bleed last Monday in Chicago. He is proud he made little kids cry, because sometimes a man's got to do what he's got to do. When someone talks shit, you got to put him in their place. And Cody, basically ruined his story at WrestleMania when it came to him versus Roman Reigns, one-on-one, bloodline for bloodline, family above everything. So he basically said, hey, children, I'm not sorry about your tears. As you told their moms and dads, I don't apologize for nothing. Then The Rock comes out and they're just having this back and forth until Seth comes out. And he's basically challenging The Rock and or Roman Reigns to a match live in Brooklyn to make it the biggest Monday Night Raw main event in history. The Rock and Roman says, we're not going to be doing that. But what we will do is have you face Solo Sikoa with Bloodline rules tonight, and that is a go for the main event. But this segment went over half an hour, first hour commercial free, because they knew that tail was going to get whooped because LSU and Iowa was playing on the other dial on ESPN. But Scott, your thoughts on this angle that kicked off a 1 hour free commercial version of Monday Night Raw?
Very well done. Good use of the commercial free. You get a full Rock entrance where you can see him making the looks, getting the reactions. You get a full Roman entrance. So that was 10 to 15 minutes right there just between those two. But the segment was really good. I mean, and this is why I mentioned it earlier. Seth Rollins came across just as big as them. He came across as genuinely a champion of the people, a people's champion. I thought it came off big, felt big time, felt special. And the reaction when he said him versus The Rock, it went big. He tried to talk. It got louder. Like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. There might be something there. And there is something there to The Rock versus Seth Rollins. They got something they need to settle one-on-one too. But yeah, this was a very good segment. This is probably about it for them too. For these guys, as far as face to face, but this was real good.
Definitely. And a lot of heat for this segment. The fans were into it. And Michael Cole teased off top that Cody Rhodes is not medically cleared to appear tonight. But I figured that was a lie, as we'll get to for the main event. But another thing that is very, very interesting is some tension within the Judgment Day in terms of who is allowed in their clubhouse. We got Dominic doing side dealings with Legado de Fantasma and Andrade, and it's really pissing off Rhea and Damian Priest. Like, they're wondering what is going on here. You're not clearing anything with any of us about what you're doing, Dominic. So is Dom trying to form this super Latin faction in WWE? Because he is playing both sides, trying to feign innocence here. We got Legado throwing darts and Damian's offended by this. So there is a lot of hitting stuff going on, and Damian's teasing what he could do at WrestleMania by cashing in his briefcase. So a lot of things are up in the air, a lot of tension, and I wonder how long Judgment Day will stand with all of this going on post-WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, they're going to get that dub this year. Him and Santos, you know, I don't think Dragon Lee's gonna get the win this year, but I see them getting the win. Does Dom end up just being by himself? Does he get played by both sides? How does this play out? Dominic in the middle, I don't know, but I am enjoying Dominic in this role. Andrade was like, you need me to take care of this problem, and Dom was like, nah, I want you to take care of this problem. That's little things like that just stand out. And I thought Dom came across real well in this segment.
He did. And for a while, it felt like he was getting lost because I think Rhea Ripley is so over, even though she's presented as a heel. The fans love her, and sometimes you can't have them together as much. But I'm glad he's more focused on TV as of late. Another WrestleMania match against his dad, this time an attack team match. But it seems like he's trying to wield power for himself, which is new, which will make him stand out away from Judgment Day when the time comes. And I think that down the line, more refinement, more experience, obviously, when that tilt happens, all the heat he's getting will actually result in a great babyface run in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not really a guy I like to root for. You know, if he starts doing good guy stuff, I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm good on that, Dom. Go smack your father again.
Oh, my God. You are a sadist when it comes to Ray, I tell you. But, yeah, I didn't say next year. I said 2 to 3 years. I didn't say tomorrow. It's not going to be immediate, but they're laying foundation for down the road, and I can kind of see it.
Yeah, it'll happen. They'll give it a shot. I see him being a babyface as good as JBL was a babyface after he became a millionaire.
Well, you know that wasn't going to work because we hate rich people.
There you go.
By nature, especially when they're pompous and bougie and expensive and very, very rude.
And you know the only people I hate more than the rich people? They're snobby kids.
The trust fund babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness. I totally understand that as well. So hopefully that's not Dom's fate in the next 3 to 5 years. I really hope not, because you know that, listen, I love Ray, but you know they are expensive. Louis V down all day.
Come on, man. And whatever Dom is, whatever they spent on Dom, old girl is bougie. You seen how she showed up when she was on TV.
Yes.
Old sister, you seen how she showed up. So you know she's spending at least 3 times that.
Yes. And Angie too. Louis V all day.
Oh, you don't count that. You don't even count what Angie spends. That's she got her own card and account. They get direct deposit every week. Every time Ray get paid, she get paid. She you don't even count that. Angie ain't worried about nothing. She is begging Rey Mysterio to say something to her about someone his bill. She waiting on him to say something.
Angie, why you spent $25,000 on his purse? Because
she gonna be like, why'd I what?
What I want?
Oh, you mean why didn't I go spend another $4,000? You right, my bad. I'll be right back. That's how that conversation's going.
They're my first family for a reason. They are expensive, and I love that for them. They're like likable in terms of how expensive they are. It's very understated, but overstated at the same time, if it makes sense. Like, you know, they walk in real cool and smooth, but you're like, everybody got Louis V on. Every one of y'all. Customized. Coming out of Maybachs and stuff. That's Ray. Love that for him. I do. Truly, truly do. As we get to somebody who's been, I have to say, on fire lately. Ricochet had a great match against JD McDonagh last week, did some incredible stuff. And then this week on Raw, he faced Ivar in a one-on-one match. And this match was also great. And the highlight was him scooping up Ivar, who's a very big man, drops him, lands a 630 for the 1-2-3. Ricochet has been wrestling out of his mind, and it is not lost on me that Michael Cole and Pat McAfee has been calling him Prince Puma lately.
Well, I mean, I think all bets are off after Pat McAfee was calling out Michael Cole for antlering all over himself. So I think all bets have been off since that happened. Yeah, Ricochet's been great. Ivar's a... This is the one thing I don't understand. One thing about Triple H, though, he love to make a big man lose. He don't like these big men to pick up victories, I noticed. Like, Bronson Reed don't really win no matches. Ivar don't really win no matches. Unless they face a Tozawa. And I'm sorry. Ivar lost to Tozawa. My bad. Like... He is probably begging for Eric to come. Like, Eric, come on, bro. How's the injury coming? I need you back now because I ain't want a match. Antlers ain't here. You know, you knew he wasn't going to win when Antlers didn't come out. So the match was good. The match was really good, actually. Don't get me wrong. Ivar is a really good wrestler. The match was really good. Never in doubt. But it's probably not going to lead anywhere because who's Ricochet going after? He going to go back after Gunther, the guy who took the title from him to begin with? Now, I don't see that happening. What are we doing with Ricochet after this? But this match was really good.
Well, you know, Dom has put a hit out on Ricochet, and he told Andrade to take care of it.
The match is going to be fantastic,
oh my
by
God.
The way, between those two.
Oh,
give him 15 to 20. That's a match that y'all should have gave 22 on this commercial-free Raw.
Oh,
but anyway.
God. They're holding off on it for a reason.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And hopefully it's for like a PLE, the PLE after, or maybe the Raw after. That's a big time matchup. But yeah, that's going to be a great match. Andrade is somebody I want to see go after and wrestle Gunther. We'll get to the predictions later, but that's somebody who I'd like to see Gunther add to his notch.
Me too. And the goal is to take out Ricochet for the Dre, the Andre the Memorial Battle Royal going on SmackDown on Friday night for WrestleMania SmackDown. And we'll see how Andrade tries to take out the Ricochet problem for Judgment Day, because if he does, he's in the crew. I doubt that will happen, but I would love to see a 20-minute match between those two, because if they are just allowed to go out there and do whatever, it is going to be spectacular. And Ricochet has been given full reign to go crazy lately. Let Andrade do the same, and I am all in on that. I am still waiting for him to pull out that figure eight, because that would get a pop from the crowd. So one day, very soon, hopefully, as we now get to.
Can I say one thing before we move on about Andrade? Yes. And it may be a minor thing, and maybe I'm overthinking things, but I thought it was very interesting the way Rhea Ripley just kind of cut Andrade off and was and just really dismissed him. And Andrade kind of looked at her like, yeah, all right. Hey, you keep playing. I saw the match last year. That's something I think is also being built towards, because whenever they decide to turn on Andrade, or maybe Rhea slaps Andrade, that's all it's going to take. And then Charlotte's going to come back and they're going to have another banger of a match.
Oh my God, it's going to be great. Like, their matches are special. Heal up soon, Charlotte. I think she'll be back pale by the summer. This woman is just killing it in a rehab at the PC. Legit. So love that angle as well. Very subtle, very, very sneaky by WWE in a good way to acknowledge that history in a very clever way, as we now get to the main event of Monday Night Raw. It was Solo Sikoa versus the World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins in a Bloodline Rules match. And this match was, as expected, a free-for-all. We had table spots. We had Solo putting Seth through a table. We had Seth powerbombing Solo through Seth table. Moments later, as he tried to have the match in hand with the curb stomp, we had Jimmy Uso come out there. And then we had Jey Uso come out there as well to fight his brother as they get ready for their match at WrestleMania Night 1 on Saturday night. And then the final boss arrives. He lays out his cousin, takes out Jey, and Seth is all alone. And he's eye to eye with the final boss. And Seth begins to smile and laugh because Cody is plan B. And the music hits, the fans pop, and Cody goes after The Rock. And, you know, Scott made a good point. Like, I called The Rock the wrestler of the year. He has not wrestled yet. But what we do know after tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw, before the ambush happened with Roman Reigns, is that when we had Seth and Cody drop The Rock on the announce table, the overselling of The Rock after all of these years is still intact. I laughed.
I will say, I thoroughly enjoy, and I'm so glad that The Rock took Shawn Michaels' class of selling, and because The Rock got hit one time, and looked like his eyes were pointing the other way. He was looking in the other directions. This dude looked like Dominic Toretto just hit him with a lead pipe, because that's the only man I ever seen knock down Dwayne Johnson like that. Okay, I really enjoyed that. I loved everything about that. But the overselling is this must have been what you're talking about when you were like wrestler of the year.
Yeah,
there it is. And you know what? He even fed for Cody. When Cody came out, he was taking some punches. I mean, that dude was just, I was like, wow, look at you, Rock. Took a back bump, got up. I thought he was going to Hulk Hogan in and just roll around the rest of the time. But no, he got back up. He was moving around. No, I had a lot of fun with this match. I do question putting Seth Rollins in a Bloodline Rules match, his first match back, when you've got the biggest match of his career coming up, just coming off a knee injury. But that's a whole nother thing. Shout out to Solo Sikoa, who doesn't win matches also, and hasn't won a match since he gave John Cena six fingers. So there's that.
Six or 16, because we had a blast counting them on the rap a few months ago.
You're right. I forgot about the rapid shot he gave him. He gave him the E Honda hand slap, except with a thumb.
Surprised
25 in a row. 25 in a row. It was ridiculous. But yeah, that is why I said wrestler of the year, because that bump he took. I said, you know, we're going to be all right at WrestleMania, because I think that The Rock is going to take some exceptional bumps. He's going to oversell his ass off and he's going to do some stuff. Yeah, I know he's 52 years old almost. And I just got the feeling he's going to just do some crazy shit. And you can't tell him what to do. And I love that. But the most important thing is cardio, and he is lean. He is leaner than he was when he first came back in January. So he has taken this seriously, and he wasn't gassed out during both beatdowns, which is good too. So eventually Roman, who was supposed to leave the arena earlier in the night to get ready to write his speech for Paul Heyman's induction ceremony for the Hall of Fame on Friday night, he comes out there from underneath the ring, attacks Seth Rollins. I was scared because Seth landed so weird on the floor. Like, dude, please don't hurt yourself. As Scott said, first match officially back since, you know, the meniscus tear a few months ago. Like, dude, you have to be safe heading into the biggest WrestleMania match of your life. And then we get this Django Unchained ass whooping beat down with the weight belts. My God in heaven. The Rock is so cold-blooded. He wrote the Rock is so cold-blooded. He wore Cody's weight belt. He had it around his waist. He took it off and he whooped Cody. He whooped Seth. Roman had his fun too, whooping and whooping and whooping and whooping, spears and whoopings and everything. It was a great beatdown heading into WrestleMania. I did love how Cody was going to tease a rock bottom. He'll hit it on Saturday, most likely. I expect this tag team match to be just amazing for what we're going to get. I have no idea, but I am excited. The heat level for this is there. It's just going to be epic. And this was another great heat segment with the Bloodline standing tall. And as we went off the air, The Rock whooped him again, and I expect extended footage of this beatdown, because when the camera stopped, The Rock keeps rolling.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody's seen Django Unchained, and there were some black people that were beaten. That's a Quentin Tarantino thing. This is what happens if Ryan Coogler would have went ahead and directed Django Unchained, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, Leo would have got some of them lashes. All right, Leo definitely would have got some of them lashes, and this is what it would have looked like. And they probably would have made Samuel L. Jackson's old crooked character hold him and make sure he get the lashes. Old candy boy. But you know, this is a... First of all, Cody, you telling me you ain't asked nobody else for help? Like, you knew what you was coming into. Like, again, this is what I'm talking... Like, these... The segment was fine. I didn't think about it at the time. This is me overthinking. But, like, you knew what you was about to run into. You ain't asked nobody. You was like, you ain't seen nobody that you could be like, yo, can I get your help? Yo, you want to come with me down to... Nobody? Nobody's there to help you? You ain't want to bring a chair. You ain't want to bring a weapon. You just ran down there with a bandage. You got what you deserve, bro. You got what you deserve. You went down there with those two behemoths by yourself hurt. Come on. Nah. Yeah, you deserve what you got.
He set himself up for that, not going to lie. But I think that this is going to lead to, as we get to our predictions, the most outlandish main event in the history of WrestleMania for night two. Avengers Endgame is incoming. And Cody is going to make the call to two people. And we saw these two people on a trailer during the Chicago beatdown last Monday on Raw. I'm going to save that for my WrestleMania predictions, as we'll get to them right now, because it is now time to do the thing that we've been waiting to do this entire episode, and that is make bold WrestleMania 40 predictions. As I pull up the card right now, WWE made the announcement tonight as to which matches were headlined each night of WrestleMania. And I'm going to pull it up right now to dissect what we can expect for WrestleMania 40 going down on Saturday in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So for night one of WrestleMania, in no particular order, Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship.
Gunta will retain that title. And Sammy will put up a great fight, but he will end up falling to the ring general.
I have a feeling Sammy is going to not win because of Chad Gable.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's an interesting development. You think ultimate baby, you think the big time baby face Chad Gable is gonna flip the script on Sammy?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Like, you're gonna finish my story, not on my watch. Should have been me that is gonna be Chad Gable to Sami Zayn. And then after WrestleMania, they're in Montreal. So we'll see how it goes, whether Sammy's champion or not. He's definitely going to be over.
That could work. He could take out Ludwig and Giovanni, and then act like he's going to help Sammy, and you know, take out Sammy or do something. Yeah, that works.
Yes. Then we have Oos versus Oos, Yeet versus No Yeet, Jay versus Jimmy in a singles match.
This should open night one. These two closed night one a year ago as a tag team. They should open night one facing each other. It's a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be. You know, for a while I was really just like, I was like, Jay, I think Jay's got to get a big win. But man, I'm going to go with Jay. I'm going to go with my heart with Jay, even though my head is telling me that Jimmy's going to, that night one is going to be all about bloodline. Yeah, I think actually night one is going to be all about bloodline. I got Jimmy.
I got Jay. I got Jay winning this match. It needs like a statement victory at WrestleMania. This is a way to do it. I think the bloodline is going to win the night in the main event. Spoiler alert. But I think that Jay does get the first shot to give them some hope before it all fades away in the main event. That is my prediction. Should be a very good match. That should open WrestleMania for sure. As we get to the Latino World Order, Rey Mysterio and newest member Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio in a tag team match.
Yeah, I got Santos and Dirty Dom picking up this victory. Rey Mysterio got the dub last year. This year, I think Dominic gets his win back.
Me too. Could be a sneaky great match. Just let them go full on lucha, and I am here for that. So I am also going to say Escobar and Dom is going to win this match to make up for what did not happen for Dom last year when he could not beat his dad when Rey whooped that ass on live television, which I greatly appreciate. I cannot wait to see their entrances in Philadelphia as well. As we get to Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi Black Magic versus Damage Control's Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane.
Black Trinity wins. This is a wrap. Jade Cargill with the pen as well.
Yes, agreed. I love Black Trinity. Inside joke, by the way. Love that by you, by the way. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Tip of the cap.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As we get to what could be the absolutely unbelievable, bonkers match of the night. If it stands right now, we got the Judgment Days, Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, DIY versus the Awesome Truth, The Miz and R-Truth versus The New Day, Kofi and Xavier Woods versus A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller versus New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, and a six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. The match ends after both titles of the Undisputed Championship have been retrieved. So is that a way to possibly maybe split those belts? I do not know.
I think so. I think I got Austin Theory and Grayson Waller winning the SmackDown titles. And then I got my boys Awesome Truth winning the Raw titles. Judgment Day, everyone, yeah, they're going to go home without the gold. Hey, man, because then I think maybe Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee do win, and then everybody loses except for Rhea Ripley. So that way she can just go off on them on the night after Raw. But I'm going to stick with that one. But yeah, I got Awesome Truth and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller.
Hate the latter pick. To the first pick. I am going to pick...
You just DIY. Picking wrong. You picking wrong just because you don't want to pick The Miz.
I am not picking The Miz. Okay. I refuse. Okay.
Even though you know he's going to win.
No, he's not going to win. DIY will be winning those Raw tag team titles.
So you are going to be rooting against R-Truth not to have his WrestleMania moment on top of that ladder that he has been taking to the ring for years, waiting to finally get it right. And bring it to the right show just because you don't like The Miz.
Do not try to use continuity against me, first of all. I love R-Truth, and I would love to see him win, but I don't want to see him win with The Miz. I'm going to be an adamant hater on that, and that is why I am picking DIY. I do not want The Miz to win because I don't want you here on the air gloating about it for 15 minutes.
Oh man, that live show after night one's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. Like, just, you know, we're gonna have a lot of things to talk about. Warriors are gonna fall out of the playoffs.
Excuse me.
Atlanta is just gonna be Atlanta, and then, you know, Lakers are gonna be in the seventh seed. Miz is gonna be champion. It's going to be a great night. I can't wait for you to experience that with me.
I'm taking the month off if that happens. That's too much. That's too many L's at one time. I can't. I will not. Moving on before I turn off the show in protest. That's just horrifying. And all of that can't happen in a weekend. So, boo. But next up, we have Rhea Ripley, our women's world champion, who's been the champ for over a year now, versus Becky Lynch for the championship.
I got Rhea Ripley winning. I think this would be a good way to have Becky Lynch step away for a little bit, you know, and just... Now we can move on to Liv Morgan or whoever else, but I got Rhea Ripley winning and winning decisively in a great match.
Agreed. I think that Rhea Ripley should retain the championship. Becky Lynch is great, but I think that this is a match you can absolutely lose, and that builds up Rhea Ripley even more. And I'm also ready for Liv and Rhea to go back at it once again. That story is unfinished heading into post-WrestleMania season. I'm all about that as well. So I expect this to be a bruising battle. I love the pull-aparts the last couple of weeks, even on the Irrawaddy MMA Hour to Monday Night Raw in Brooklyn and Chicago the last couple of weeks. They're adding heat to this match. I think Becky... She will not be as over because Rhea Ripley is just that much more over this year. And that's okay. If she can lean into being the villain, if that is going to be the assignment at WrestleMania Night 1, so be it. But I still think it's going to be a great match. And it will be a match that I think that Becky wants to start out WrestleMania. And that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
You got too much of a story to not have Jimmy and Jay open. Unless this is night. Are we on night two? Or are we still night one?
Night one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I still say Jay versus Jimmy.
All right. We see how the match order goes. And we find out who's going to kick off WrestleMania 40 in Philly in 4 days as we get to our main event of night one, the Bloodline, The Rock, the Final Boss, and the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, versus Cody Rhodes, the 2023 and 2024 Men's Royal Rumble winner, and the World Heavyweight Champion, Seth freaking Rollins, in a tag team match. If Rhodes and Rollins win, all members of the Bloodline will be banned from ringside during the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match on night two. If The Rock and Reigns win, the championship match on night two will be held under Bloodline rules.
I got The Rock, and I have him pinning Seth Rollins after Drew McIntyre interferes and causes the chaos.
I expect Cody and Seth to lose. No doubt about it. We need that Bloodline rules finish at WrestleMania night two. And I expect all our mayhem. It's going to be a great match. I expect The Rock to do some fun stuff. And Seth Rollins and The Rock, oh, it's going to be something. I think that Seth is going to be extremely motivated to just go all out. His first main event outside of the cash in at WrestleMania 31 in Santa Clara 9 years ago. This one means a bit more, and I expect Seth to go out of his mind in the main event with the L, but it will be spectacular nonetheless.
Yeah, it should be a great match, and you don't have to do a lot. Like, the crowd is going to be invested. Play with the crowd, manipulate the crowd. Build to these big spots that you know you're going to have. And yeah, you're gonna have something special here.
All right. So these are our predictions for WrestleMania night one. Will we be right when we come back Saturday night for the wrap live on YouTube? We do not know. You will hold us accountable. We would hope. As we now get to night two of WrestleMania, going down from the Link in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And by all accounts, the weather's going to be pretty nice, a little chilly, but not like snow or bad or rainy. So just bundle up accordingly, and Philly should be a very fun weekend for you guys who are traveling to WrestleMania XL. As we talk about night two, which will be, apologies in advance, Pride Rock, Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford, the Street Profits with B-Fab versus the Final Testament, Karrion Kross and Akam and Razor, the Authors of Pain with Scarlett and Paul Ellering, and a six-man Philadelphia street fight. This stip was sorely needed, because I'm going to be real, this feud has done very little for me on SmackDown, but if you add the accoutrements via a street fight and give us maybe that stadium stampede flavor for WrestleMania, this match could be a banger, and I'm picking the Pride Rock to win.
Is that their real name?
The actual name is Pride. I'm just adding Pride Rock for kicks, like we're from the Lion King.
First of all,
I think I broke Scott. He did not know the Pride was their faction name.
I didn't know it was their real name. I thought that was just something that people were throwing around.
Mm-mm.
You know, when people say that like WWE is like really tone deaf and just can't get out of their own way, the pride of what? The Badlands, Pride Rock. Who let Rafiki name this group? Like, what is that? Somebody was at home with a kid watching The Lion Guard and was like, oh, Pride Rock, Hunter, call Hunter. What? Oh my God, that's crazy. And what's Karrion Kross's group called? What are they called? Rom Zombie? Are they Rob Zombie?
Wow.
What are they called?
Wow.
You are absolutely crazy. I have not heard a Rob Zombie reference since 1997, but they're known as the Final Testament.
There it is. The Final Testament. They didn't want to be the Book of Revelation. They didn't want to be the end times. Like, you wanted to be the Final Testament. What does that mean? Are you the New or the Old Testament? What? I got the rock. Or the pride. Rock. I'm sorry, the pride. My bad.
Not the rock.
I got the pride.
Scott has picked Brother Rock to win this match. Oh,
God.
This, of all the things to break Scott for our preview, the mere mention of the pride as being an actual faction name has broken him beyond repair. I am very proud of myself. We thought this was an April Fool's joke. No, this is real. I'm on Wikipedia, and they are called the Pride, and they call themselves that on SmackDown before, so it is what they are. Now, I do wonder why they simply cannot be the Hurt Business 2.0. It's right there.
Well, for me, I'm just wondering why, if the Pride was their option, don't they get to see these options? Did they pick this?
Maybe they did. Maybe they had a consultation and said, "Hey, I like the Pride. Let's roll with it."
This is why MVP was like, "Yeah, I was gonna reunite with them boys, but then they was talking about being the Pride and stuff, and you know, I'm Beat Down Crew. I'm BDC. You know what I'm saying? So I can't be a part of no Pride."
He immediately rejected the offer. I don't blame him. I truly don't.
Where Omos at? Where Omos at? I know he coming Friday, but like, I'm surprised he ain't got a nice little showcase match. Shout out to Omos, man. Omos. That Nigerian giant being in the Pride. What are we doing, man? This is crazy.
Oh, well, the things to get Scott that did it. But hey, it is a thing. It is a thing. There's nothing that we can do about it. As we get to LA Knight versus AJ Styles, and AJ is teasing new music at WrestleMania. I don't want it.
He must have drove off the side of the flat earth that he was on and you know, hit his head. I don't know why he would want new music when he's got an anthem. Has he heard some of the new music that's come out?
I can't listen. I swear, my ringtone is his theme song. It is. It is a forever anthem and banger. And this guy has the temerity to change it at WrestleMania. This better be the most greatest rap remix to your theme song, because your song, AJ, is a standard. And for you to change it at 40? Okay.
I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it if it's for the heel turn, though. I'm cool. I've always been a fan of people changing their music. Like, when you go heel, you got different music. And then when you got babyface, you go back to your happy. Like, I liked when Sammy changed his music. And then when he went babyface, he went back to that upbeat, plucky music. You know, so I dig that aspect of it. But AJ just had a banger. But I got LA Knight getting a big win on WrestleMania.
All right. I also have LA Knight winning at WrestleMania. This is going to be a prolific night for him. Big stage, singles match. He's going to deliver. AJ Styles, I'm going to be very honest. Somebody delivered this shocking stat that I saw on social media, that AJ Styles has been a part of several WrestleManias. And I am not lying, because I have won through all of his matches. His best match outside of the Boneyard match against Taker at WrestleMania during the pandemic era 4 years ago, because that was just cinematic genius. The best match AJ Styles had in a wrestling ring was WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, opening the show against Shane McMahon.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. You know, Shane being able to throw caution to the wind and just deliver big moves. But I will say, AJ's had good matches. Like the Randy Orton match, the lighting is terrible, so the crowd just doesn't react. But the match itself is really good. His match with Jericho is good, just had the wrong winner. The Shinsuke match isn't that good. But yeah, I do agree. It's definitely his best match, but I don't think that's that bad. Like Shane's not like a god awful worker. Sometimes he can pull out some magic, and he still had a little bit left. And that was prime AJ too. That was him coming in, proving something and proving a point to Vince McMahon specifically. Like, yo, I can be your guy. You ain't gonna look at me like that because I'm from TNA, but I can be your guy. But yeah, I do agree with you.
And let me tell you, I'm not a Shane hater. You know, I stand Shane, love Shane when he came back several years ago. I love that match at WrestleMania. But I'm just saying, for AJ, considering how great he is, that is his WrestleMania highlight outside of the Boneyard match. That is a fact. And, no, you know, bad lighting with Randy was unfortunate. The Shin match at WrestleMania in New Orleans wasn't the best either. And it's just been like so. This one against LA Knight is on the higher end of good matches. Just make sure it's at night too, with no blinding light. I am just saying.
Yeah, looking forward to a nice loud yeah chant. That should be good.
For sure. And it's very funny to me how LA Knight is leaning in Stone Cold more so than The Rock, because The Rock is actually on television these days.
I think that goes to show that he knows what he does. He knows what he's doing. He knows what his bread and butter is. And he knows that if somebody's there who does it at the pinnacle and he's not the pinnacle, he's like, yeah, let me head a little bit this way. I'm sure that whenever Stone Cold shows up, him and LA Knight will be on different nights.
For sure, definitely. And then when The Rock's gone, then LA Knight can re-embrace that Rock half of him as well. So very, very clever that way. As we get to our next match, which is Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens in a triple threat match for the WWE United States Championship.
I got Logan Paul retaining that title. I think he gets a nice singles win at WrestleMania to retain it. Randy Orton doesn't need the title. Don't see any reason for him to win the U.S. title. Kevin Owens could win the title. You could have a really cool moment if Sammy and KO were to both win singles titles the following year. That, you know, after the year, after they win tag titles together, that could be a really cool moment, especially Raw after Mania. So there is something there, but I think Logan Paul ends up retaining.
I think Logan Paul ends up retaining as well. I think this is going to be another sneaky, great match potentially. And I expect Logan Paul to take a spectacular RKO somehow, some way, and he'll still find a way to win. And then Kevin Owens, you know, he is going to do some crazy shit at WrestleMania. It's what he does. This could be a sneaky, great match. Three guys motivated. Logan Paul, you know, he always delivers big on the grandest stage of them all. And this could be one of his better matches against two consummate dudes in Randy and Kevin, is going to go out there and deliver as well. So I think this might be a top three Logan Paul match when it's all said and done, with him retaining the championship as well.
Ooh. Absolutely could be. It's good spot for Orton as well. You got Logan and Kevin who can create a lot of the movement. They can take the really, really big bumps. They can work the majority of the matches, and Orton can just hit his big moves, get the crowd fired up, catch people in some RKOs. I think you're right. This could be a sneaky good match. A lot of these matches, man, it's going to be, there's a big expectation for a lot of these matches to deliver. And I think this is going to be one of them that does.
Yes, absolutely. Then we have Bayley versus the women's champion Io Sky in a singles match for the women's championship, our 2024 Women's Royal Rumble winner, Bayley. They've put some heat on this match in the last couple of weeks. I think up until The Rock's return to WWE a couple of months ago, they were really anchoring a lot of segments on SmackDown in terms of moving the numbers. But I think that this would be a fairly heated match. Bayley getting that love from the crowd is going to mean a lot. I love the hype video that I saw from her on social media to get her ready for WrestleMania week. She's been working on her knee. Obviously, that's the torn ACL from a few years ago, and she's going to make sure that's strengthened for WrestleMania, seeing the acupuncture for that, just getting ready and set. And I hope that her dream comes true, that I know that Triple H is called Meek Mill. Lil Wayne is going to be at WrestleMania debuting a brand new song. And I am praying, I am praying that Bayley finally gets Paramour playing her down to the ring at WrestleMania. It ain't like WWE and TKO don't have the money to do it, because they do.
I hate to crush your dreams, but I don't mind. And, you know, I'm a big Paramore fan. I that's not going to happen. I don't see it happening. I do potentially see I was going to say maybe I see a Bayley buddy coming back, but I don't see that happening either. Mm-mm, mm-mm. The match will be good. I got Bayley getting her nice moment at WrestleMania. This will be the second time that, if I remember correctly, this will be the second time that she's won the world title at WrestleMania. I believe she won in the Fatal 4-Way a few years ago with Charlotte, Sasha, and Nia Jax. I think that was Charlotte Flair's first loss on the main roster on pay-per-views. So this would be a big moment for Bayley.
I take it back, Scott. Bayley buddy's coming back. It's going to pop the fuck out that crowd. Yeah.
After the win.
Oh,
it should come after the win.
Yeah. I can feel that too. I can feel that too. Yes.
She should win the match. You know, she's got the crowd there. You know, she's walking down the ramp. She's going to throw up the title one more time. And that, when she throws it up that time, that's when all the Bayley buddies come out for one last time at WrestleMania.
Oh, you know? It's a cute thing. We need it. The full circle. I would love to see. I think she's going to win as well. And gotta say, I saw that video I talked about earlier. Bayley's beautiful with or without makeup. I just want to say that she's beautiful.
Yeah. You want to talk about somebody getting some cheddar biscuits? Let me tell you. Bayley got the restaurant. Okay. Bayley got the restaurant. Let me go ahead and tell you. Bayley the one. All right.
She is. My God. She is so beautiful with or without makeup. She's beautiful. Stunning.
No doubt.
My goodness. Yes. I actually will also give her the entire restaurant and the franchise. She gets a franchise. She gets 10 franchises.
Nah, she can't have a franchise, because then I ain't got no pull left. I gotta own the franchise. I gotta have
the restaurant.
I need a reason for her to still talk to me.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay, let's calm down. But yes, she is beautiful and she's talented, and I hope this is her night. It's well deserved. I would have loved for it to be the main event, but The Rock said otherwise. But I think they're still gonna have a really good match at WrestleMania. I don't doubt that for a second, and I think it's going to be a show stealer as well, with good crowd heat, if not great crowd heat, depending on the match placement. As we get to what I think will be the semi-main event for WrestleMania Night 2, it is Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre in a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Drew McIntyre wins, gets his moment in front of fans, gets a big win. I do wonder how the loss comes about. Is it a clean loss? Is, you know, what type of injuries is Seth going to carry over? He's definitely going through a table. No question. You know, there's no question about that in the tag match the night before. He's definitely going to be one of the ones to go through a table. So does he have injured ribs? Do they attack the knee? You know, what type of injury? The finish to this match, I think, is curious. You know, do they have somebody from the Bloodline interfere? Does Seth Rollins show up later on with the Roman Cody match? But I do think it doesn't, regardless of how it happens, Drew McIntyre is your new World Heavyweight Champion.
Most definitely. I have prayed for times like these, like Drew McIntyre. I love Seth, don't get me wrong, but I want Drew to win in front of humans. It is long overdue. He will have his moment. I think this match is going to be fucking great. Like, these guys don't miss. Like, this is going to be the moment. If Seth has anything left after night one in that tag team match, he is going to just be out of this world, and Drew McIntyre is as well. It's going to be electric. And we should not forget that a certain Punk will be on commentary for this match, and he might swing at some point. So that might be when he swings, potentially. On who, I don't know. But I also foresee
Drew McIntyre winning this championship, getting the fireworks, getting maybe his OG theme music back for a night, because I just think that it is time. It has been 4 years. He's waited for this moment. It was denied to him 3 years ago in Tampa Bay, and here we go again in Philly. It's got to happen, and I think it will happen for Drew at WrestleMania. Brand new champ, and hey, Clash at the Castle going down in Scotland, hometown hero, make it happen. Let's get it done.
Yeah. He's definitely going to win the match. After the match, go up and put the title in Punk's face, and Punk's going to punch him in the face.
Yes.
And then look at the title, crowd go crazy, he'll smile, and then he'll just walk away.
Yes. Fully expect that as well. Which leads us to now, our main event for WrestleMania Night 2. It is Roman Reigns, the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, versus Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, in what could be a straight-up match or a bloodlines rule match for the championship. Will this be the moment that after 3.5 years and 2 attempts, Cody Rhodes finally finishes his story?
Yes, Cody Rhodes finishes the story. Cody Rhodes pins Roman Reigns. Dustin Rhodes comes out and takes out Roman, and that's what sets the pin up. In a perfect world where companies got along, that's what would happen, but that's not going to happen. What is going to happen is everybody that we've seen all those other nights before are going to come out. John Cena is going to come out, and him and Solo are going to do their thing, and Cena might end up getting taken out in the numbers game, and then you're going to hear that glass shatter.
Yes.
And The Rock is going to the eyes are going to come out of his head. He's going to take his glasses off. Eyes are going to come out of his head. He's going to snap his neck back, and the crowd is going to go ballistic as Stone Cold drives down in that four-wheeler, parks it, and just opens up a can on everybody there, handing out stunners left and right as him, Cena, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, you might even get Sammy and KO, as all of them come down and just start beating the bloodline down back up the ramp. And now it's just Roman and Cody one-on-one. They're trading punches in the middle of the ring, and now it looks just like last year. Cody hits the left, the bionic elbow, 3 straight crossroads. We have a new champion right there.
Dare I say, the greatest WrestleMania finish of all time. And Scott called it, because we saw that trailer last Monday in Chicago, and we had the faces of John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin staring back at The Rock, whooping up on Cody Rhodes. So I expect them to be there. And when that glass shatters, that crowd is going to fucking lose their minds. The Rock is going to shit his pants. And I am looking forward to him selling that stunner and flipping all over that ring like a fish. It is going to be amazing. We're going to have everybody out there helping Seth. We got Jay. We got Sammy, potentially KO, maybe Randy Orton as well. All of them are going to come out there to help in the clutch as Cody finishes his story. I expect an abundance of fireworks, $20 million worth. We got Mama Rose crying, Brandy crying. We got Liberty out there. It is going to be the most spectacular finish in WrestleMania history. I am here for it, and I will play it over and over again. And then we'll make time to watch a press conference, because I got to see it. And then after that, we'll get on here and talk about it, pop bottles, and say that is how you end a fucking show.
Yeah, that's fully what I'm expecting. I think it's going to be, another great match. I think people completely underrate the match they had last year because of the result. They had a great match last year.
They sure did.
Yeah, great main event. Fantastic. And again, there were just better matches that weekend, but doesn't take away from what they had and what they did. And I think it's going to be the same thing this weekend. They both know what they're doing. They know what's at stake. Everybody knows what this main event means. This is what we've been building towards. This is what, like, this momentum that you have, this is the apex that you've been shooting for. Like, this is, you're going to get to the top of the mountain and you're going to get a chance to show the world why this is WrestleMania and why you are the apex. And I think it's going to be great. I think once we start letting the dominoes fall and people start coming out and the reactions just start building and building and building, it's going to be a special match.
Yes. A year ago, I was very unhappy that Cody lost. You heard about it right here on the wrap. I was very sad about what happened, but I'm going to be elated that they waited a year. They rebuilt Cody. They never let him lose his heat. The fans love him even more than ever before. And it is going to be worth it. I think that this is going to be the culmination of a journey, 2 years in the making, and he just re-upped with WWE. So he's definitely going to be walking out of WrestleMania as champion. And I think it's going to be a special night in Philadelphia for sure. But Scott, quick question for you before we wrap things up. Do you think that after it all is over for the night after WrestleMania in Philadelphia, do you think that Cody Rhodes is going to introduce the Winged Eagle WWE Championship?
He brought back the white strap.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking about the one that Rock beat him with and sent the Mama Rhodes. So there is a possibility. I don't know. They've done a lot with that specific image as far as the WWE title that they have. They got a big statue of it that they thought was a good idea. So there's that. It'd be cool. I think it'd be cool. It would fit Cody Rhodes' character. Especially since that was the title that, you know, his dad never had. So yeah, that would be cool. Do I think it happens? No. Am I all for it happening? Yes. I think that would be a nice touch and just would fit the character perfectly.
Yes. For the character, yes. I think they can do it because you're still going to market that belt for, like, you know, professional sports teams. That won't change. But for Cody and the importance of that championship to his family, he will have that belt just for him. It's not going to be something that's going to be given out to the sports teams, I don't think. They have their customized belts and they're making a lot of money off of that, obviously. So I think that'll be the play for Cody. They can do it and still market their championship belt as the belt for the sports leagues out there that choose to use it for their championship parades and celebrations across sport. So bring back the Winged Eagle. It's going to come back, I think, Scott, post-WrestleMania. That's going to be quite the reveal whenever it takes place, because it's been a story 2 years in the making.
Well, we know if he's got a black bag, you know what that means.
You know that's going to have that belt in there the next night for sure. Definitely. As we now put a bow on this week's episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network, we have unloaded the clip for WrestleMania 40 going down in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We have three shows on tap. We got a show late Saturday night, WrestleMania night one, late Sunday night, WrestleMania night two, and of course, the most important Raw of the year, the Raw after WrestleMania going down in Philly from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We'll be on YouTube live Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night. Tune in, join us. We'll be also be on podcast form as well. If you missed a live show, it is going to be a very, very busy weekend, but we are so excited to cover it right here with the Fight Game Media Network. So Scott, are you ready to go? Are you ready to really get into WrestleMania mode for a long, long time?
Yeah, I can't wait to get up at 12 o'clock on Saturday and watch the show or sit down at 12 o'clock because I'll be up at 7. But, I'm excited. I'll definitely be drinking for sure. So come have a drink with me on camera. I'll either be drinking sorrows or I'll be popping bottles and in celebration as The Miz becomes champion and Cody Rhodes finishes his story. I'm excited. So come pop some bottles, take some shots. I'll even have my Jamie Hayter koozie ready to go.
Yes, I love the Jamie Hayter koozie for sure. You know what? I loved everything you said except the Miz winning. So we're going to rebuke that and hope for the best for Cody to finish his story at WrestleMania, because I cannot have the Miz win on my watch because I have to deal with you talking about it constantly.
For sure.
My Mysterian. That is your other nickname as well. But that is a wrap for all that we can talk about for right now regarding the week that was and the week to come in WWE, as we are getting into WrestleMania mode. The road is winding down, and I want to thank Scott for joining me as always as we discuss this very extra large edition of the wrap, getting ready for the biggest WrestleMania ever.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. It's favorite time of the year. Very excited for the big shows we got. I'm even kind of excited about the Dre. I think they'll put on a good show for the Dre as well. And I just have very high expectations. I'm excited about this show, and I'm expecting a much better Raw after Mania with Triple H running the show besides Vince McMahon last year. So this is going to be very good, very good.
Sweet baby Jesus, that show last year, ooh, you can tell he was there. That was a bad Raw after Mania. But it's the Triple H era. This man's been in his bag, and this is his true WrestleMania vision. And it looks great. I mean, night one looks exceptional. Night two looks pretty stacked as well. And I think everything is going to be building to how it needs to be. And this could be an all-time WrestleMania, just like last year's was, for sure. And I will say both nights will be great. Not just one, both.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. And with that, it's now time to bid you guys adieu. We'll be back late Saturday night with our review for night one of WrestleMania, going down live from the Link in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Join us, have a drink, eat a little something, and enjoy the recap of WrestleMania night one. Enjoy the week ahead, ladies and gentlemen. For myself and for WrestleMania Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE as the road to WrestleMania winds down. Enjoy everything associated with this very special week in wrestling, as Philadelphia becomes the epicenter of all things WWE and other indie promotions. So until then, take care and bye-bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.